hear the sound of a mighty rushing wind.
Welcome to Issues weekly broadcast on Spirit FM 88.3. Romans chapter 13 verse 11 to 12 says, "And that knowing the time, that now is the high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light." On this broadcast, Brother Eben and his team reveal supernatural visions, dreams, and prophecies with the accounts of the Bible, real testimony soundbite of heaven and hell that can affect your life eternally. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth, on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on earth. Topical areas include the reality of life, heaven and hell, the afterlife, times, and many more. This program is live every Saturday from 8 to 10 p.m. Be blessed as you are encouraged to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
Around me, I see prophecies fulfilled. Signs of the times, they're appearing everywhere. Children, yeah, and at the midnight cry, we'll be going home when Jesus steps out.
We praise you, Jesus. Oh, we praise you, Jesus.
Very good evening to all listeners. This is Spirit 88.3 FM. The program is Issues of Life. We thank God for another Saturday, and it's always a pleasure to come your way. And we thank God for the gift of life. And we are living in very interesting times. For those who follow international news, you've seen what is happening in Israel. It means a lot. Israel, the end time events all revolve around Israel, and you can't ignore Israel and talk about end time. They are the central pillar when it comes to end time events, because when Jesus was talking about the signs of his coming and all that, he even made a lot of references to Israel. And clearly, when you see some things escalating there, you have to know that it leads to some other things. As to how this one is going to, the current siege, whether it's going to escalate, well, we can't know. But depending on whatever happens, it may end, there may be a peace agreement, and it would end as usual. But at least it's the beginning of something else that would happen again, a greater issue. But we don't know how this one is going to pass out in the coming days. And a lot has happened. A lot this week. The news, a whole lot about Israel. I'll be talking about some of them. And, you know, as believers, we have to remind ourselves of the times we live in. We shouldn't be ignorant of these things. We shouldn't live as if these things do not concern us. And, you know, you can easily act as though, what's the big deal? It doesn't concern us and all that. But the reason why the Bible talks about signs of his coming is to the effect that when you see them, you can know where you are. That's why the Bible, Jesus talks about that. When you see these things begin to occur, look up for your redemption draweth nigh. And I believe these are the times we have to get deeper into the Bible, as I've been talking about, and more prayer. We've been on this series of revival, the great awakening, the final outpouring of the Holy Spirit, which will come before Christ comes. Because, you know, the current state of the world is not ready for the coming of Christ. And people will have to be saved. And God in his own plan has planned it so. So people will be saved before he comes. But it's not so straightforward because a whole lot of other things will be happening. Evil is also going to increase. The devil is also not going to sit down and watch. He's also going to step up the game. But in the midst of the evil and the darkness of evil flowing across the world and all, the light will shine brighter. You know, the light shines brightest in the darkest environment. So when evil overtakes the world, it seems like it has overtaken the world, then the light will also shine. That is when the final move of God will also flow through the world and the greatest revivals we've ever seen in the body of Christ will happen. And that's what we've been talking about. This friend of mine in Accra, Pastor Roger, has been joining us and we've been talking about it tonight. By the grace of God, we'll be continuing. These are very important discussions to have now because the season is due. Indeed, the season is due. And you see, it doesn't matter the fact that, I mean, almost most people are not talking about it. But the fact that people are not talking about it does not mean it's not going to happen. And the fact that most people are not saying anything about it does not also mean that it's not biblical. No, it is. It's unfortunate that sometimes because of our expectations and what we've known over the period of time, through the years and also, we've been ignorant or we've ignored some things. But by the grace of God, we have to get back to these biblical prophecies as well. That says, you know, I mean, let's just be fair to the people who are also not saved. It's as if we are just happy that we will go to heaven alone and the rest, I mean, we don't care about them. They can go to their hell. But people have to be saved. God cannot be the loser. No. God will not lose. He knows he will not lose. So he has designed it in a way that at the end, he would win souls. Souls will come into the kingdom. And that is what this final revival is all about. People will be saved. And then shall the gospel be preached to every nation. That is what it talks about. That is that prophecy that Jesus talked in Matthew 24. And that's, and you see, let me just quickly read it. And so that we get it right in the perspective in which he was saying it. Matthew 24. We also have to remind ourselves about the essence of prayer in these days we live in. Because prayer is no longer a matter of suggestion, somebody begging you. We have to pray. We have to pray seriously and we really have to take these warnings and act on them seriously. And because the times we live in is getting darker, our defense as believers should be prayer. And let me quickly read it here now. It's Matthew 24:14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. 24:14. So this final gospel, the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world. It didn't say some or most, said all the world. A worldwide move of God. I mean, yes, the gospel is being preached in various ways now and all, but this particular prophecy is a real outpouring, massive worldwide evangelistic move of God. In the midst of the evil, this will still be happening. So it tells you that it's going to be purely Holy Spirit sanctioned, Holy Spirit powered. And so it will be beyond, man cannot stop it. The evil agenda cannot stop it. And that is what this final revival is all about. Well, good evening again. I'm Eben. And let me get into some of the news this week. A lot of it is Israel, of course. With the events happening, there's no way we can be silent about it. The Bible is very, very, very clear about these times. You know, 2021 was supposed to be a year that, you know, people thought life was going back to normal. But global events have really started to accelerate. And so many things that the doom and gloom sayers have been warning about are starting to happen right before our eyes. You know, I was telling a friend this afternoon that, you know, we are getting to the point where whatever happens or will be happening will be happening at a greater effect, like the effect will be greater. It will be, the impact will be greater because things are now accelerating to levels which will now culminate into the real showdown, the real end time. The major events are going to unfold speedily in our time. And so let me start with a few of the headlines. Hamas, see, the question people have been asking, what is this whole thing about? This Hamas attacking Israel? And, you know, imagine you are sitting in Ghana, minding our own business, and then suddenly you have missiles coming from our neighbors. Missiles, hundreds. I mean, as at just yesterday or so, over 2,000 missiles have been fired towards Israel. And thank God they have this Iron Dome defense system. But now the Hamas guys are outwitting it, are able to outsmart it in a certain way, because they realize that when they fire more than 200 missiles within 5 minutes, it's able to, some are able to, you know, avoid or avoid the Iron Dome system. So it's able to hit the land. Uh-huh. So clearly that's what they'll be doing. They'll be over-firing more missiles, which would clearly outrun and outmaneuver the Israeli defense systems. And so the Hamas is trying to achieve this, a few things for people to understand the perspectives of what is happening in Israel. Now, regardless of how the current round of fighting between Israel and Hamas ends, the Gaza-based terrorist group believes it has already managed to obtain a number of achievements, especially with regard to scoring points with the Palestinian public. First, Hamas succeeded in hijacking the protests that erupted between Palestinians and the Israel police in Jerusalem at the beginning of the holy month of Ramadan. The protests over the police barriers at Damascus Gate, the planned eviction of a number of Palestinian families from their houses in Sheikh Jarrah, and visits by Jews to the Al-Aqsa Mosque compound on the Temple Mount have turned into large demonstrations in support of Hamas. When Mohammed Daif, commander of Izzadin al-Qassam, the so-called military wing of Hamas, issued a rare threat against Israel over the Sheikh Jarrah dispute, many Palestinians in Jerusalem began chanting slogans praising him and Hamas. Second, Hamas's decision to fire rockets at Jerusalem on the Monday has enabled it to present itself as a credible resistance group that is prepared to do anything to support the Palestinians in Jerusalem and stop Israel from carrying out its purported scheme to Judaize the city and change the historical and legal status of the Al-Aqsa Mosque compound. Third, Hamas now appears, at least in the eyes of many Palestinians, as the only Palestinian faction that is willing to stand up against Israel to defend Islam's third holiest site and thwart Israeli conspiracies against the Palestinian residents of Jerusalem. This is at a time when the reactions of the Palestinian Authority and the Arab and Islamic countries are restricted to paying lip service to Al-Aqsa Mosque and Palestinians in Jerusalem. Fourth, by commandeering the Jerusalem protest, Hamas has drawn attention to Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas's incompetence in dealing with the crisis. Abbas is now being depicted by Hamas and other Palestinians as a weak leader who has failed to stop Israeli aggression on the Al-Aqsa Mosque and in Jerusalem. And so basically these five key reasons, and then the fifth one is the latest round of violence has enabled Hamas to return to center stage as Egyptian, Qatari and UN mediators are making efforts to reach a new ceasefire between the terrorist group and Israel. So you know, something that started as their internal issues, and then the Alaska Mosque. And as soon as you hear the Alaska Mosque, that's where the Temple Mount, where it's believed that the third temple will be built. So, you know, in the course of, it started Monday, then this whole overflow started, and that's where we are. So a few of the headlines, you know, state of emergency as Arab mob sets synagogues on fire. Palestinian Islamic Jihad officials, Iran is giving us the rockets we use to attack Israel. Netanyahu promises full force response, and then terrorists will pay a heavy price for their aggression. This one says, rocket barrage on central Israel, Petah Tikva home hit by a rocket. And then Gantz, that's the defense minister, Israel not seeking escalation in West Bank, but ready for any scenario. And then we have defense chief says, IDF has exacted a very heavy price from Hamas. And then terror group threatens fresh attacks on Tel Aviv area. Associated Press also says, shocked and horrified by IDF's raising of tower, and that house is Gaza office. And then rocket warning sirens in Sderot, other Gaza border communities as well. Anti-Israel marches held in London, Madrid, and other cities in the world amid the Gaza fighting. Then IDF says it's downed explosives laden drone that fell and then fell on two Hamas operatives, killing them. You know, so these are some of the major headlines. And then three rockets fired at Israel from Lebanon. You see, so now, you see, when Lebanon comes in today, I saw another headline that said that a few also came in from Syria. So then it's becoming a Middle East issue. And this is where Bible prophecy begins to take hold. Zechariah 12, Ezekiel 38, and all these Bible prophecies come in. Well, these are just the early days of this thing. So if it keeps going on, we'll be talking more about these Bible prophecies, Ezekiel 38, and Zechariah chapter 12. And then IDF kills top Hamas commander Bassem Issa, highest ranking terrorist killed in 7 years. And then, and this is where the problems come in, Erdogan, the Turkish president, says international community should give strong and deterrent lesson to Israel after attacks on Palestinians. And then he also said today, terrorist state Israel must be stopped, Turkish president Erdogan says, adding it has crossed all limits. You see, and this statement is worrying because when this thing continues, don't be surprised when countries like Turkey join this fighting. You see, and this is the Ezekiel 38 prophecy, is where countries around Israel attack it. And that becomes the whole major end time pillar. So, well, early days yet, but let's keep it open and see what happens in the course of time. All right, let me get into some other news. We have Christians beheaded in Indonesia terror attack. Four Christian men were beheaded in a horrific terror attack in Indonesia on Tuesday, according to Open Doors reports. The attack occurred in Kalmago village and has been blamed on Islamic extremists belonging to a terrorist group, East Indonesia Mujahideen. Two victims were members of the Mamasa Toraja Church. Another came from Toraja Church and one from a Catholic church in the area. They were aged between 42 and 61. You know, persecution is going on in some places. So when you are in a country, a safe zone like country like Ghana, you can easily think nothing is happening. Except when you hear these news, then you know that things are really happening in other places. Radical Islamic jihadists killed over 1,400 Nigerian Christians in the first 4 months of 2021. That is 1,400 Christians, Nigerian Christians, killed in the first 4 months of this year. And Islamic jihadists murdered at least 1,470 Christians and abducted over 2,200 in Nigeria in the first 4 months of this year. A report has revealed more than half of the killings were carried out by Muslim Fulani herdsmen. The number of Christians murdered within the first 4 months of this year is the highest since 2014 and goes beyond the total number of Christians killed in 2019. A Nigerian civil society group, Inter-Society Rule of Law, says in a report released this week. Northwestern Kaduna State recorded the highest number of Christian deaths at 300. According to the investigation, which took weeks to compile, all of the killings in the majority Christian areas of the country. The North Central Benue State witnessed 200 murders of Christians, followed by the Central Plateau State with 90 Christian deaths, says Inter-Society, an organization headed by Christian criminologist Emeka Umiagbalasi. Oh, very worrying trend in Nigeria. Under headlines, is suspected Fulani gunmen raid Baptist church service in Nigeria and abduct 4 worshippers, 1 killed. Then we have this Nigerian headline to say, Nigeria, 3 students escape Fulani militants after attack on Christian mission school. 1 remains captive. Worrying. All right. We have a few worrying trending news of these LGBT people. This is train company in UK apologizes to non-binary passenger for saying ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. These people, a British train company that was founded in 2003 and takes passengers from London, King's Cross to Yorkshire, North East England and Scotland, apologized to a non-binary passenger after a conductor used the phrase, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. The non-binary passenger, who reportedly serves as the Rail, Maritime and Transport Union's LGBT rep, tweeted to the London North Eastern Rail, LNER, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. So as a non-binary person, this announcement doesn't actually apply to me, so I won't listen, at LNER. So that's what he tweeted. And the train company replied, I'm sorry to see this, Lawrence. Train managers should not be using language like this, and I thank you for bringing it to my attention. Please, could you let me know which service you are on, and I'll ensure they will remain inclusive as we strive to be at LNER. An alleged compatriot of the passenger wrote, both Lawrence and I were customers of the railway. Being rail staff does not absolve an operator from the duty of care or responsibility to be inclusive. I sat with Lawrence when this tweet was sent. Both of us are non-binary, and we were both alarmed and uncomfortable by the lack of inclusion. Then Mark Jackinson, a Conservative MP for Wokington, blasted the train company, saying, you would be forgiven for thinking this train manager had unleashed a tirade of abuse. Should not be using language like this. He actually said, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. Identify however you like, but can you stop this nonsense? Okay. And indeed, that's what it is. Then a talk radio host snapped, stop pandering to this nonsense. Your announcer said nothing wrong. Lawrence's complaint is ridiculous. No one was excluded or discriminated against. Just do your job of running trains on time and leave the woke politics to someone else with nothing better to do. And this is the level where this world is headed. I mean, common sense and biology and science says it's either male or female. These people have created a so-called non-binary. So, in simple terms, neither zero nor one, non-binary, doesn't exist. Neither zero nor one, so neither male nor female, and they want to be recognized at all costs. Before you were born as one, either a zero, a binary, either one or zero, male or female, but you've created your own non-binary status and you are claiming recognition. And you know, this is the absurdity which you read more news these days. People are losing their job, people are being punished in companies for saying things which are correct. Normal human beings, the way we say things, boy, girl, man, woman, ladies and gentlemen, now you, in some places you say it and you can lose your job. You say ladies and gentlemen in some offices now and you can be suspended. You can be, they will tag you as, you are homophobic, you are, hate speech, whatever. The world has just gone nuts. And it's not getting better. It's getting worse because they keep planning and roping in more strengths to ensure that Christians are targeted because they know Christians will not comply largely to these things. So intentionally bringing in clauses and bylaws and whatever legislation that can ensnare Christians to commit quote-unquote the crime of being or misgendering them, as they call it these days, misgender, another word that they've created, misgendering. So if he fails this way, identify the person that way, and then it's a problem. And it's getting worrying because I saw one video where this man used to be this LGBT transgender, what now he's a Christian, and explains that there's an agenda. And you see, Christians are the targets. So if you are not careful, you think, oh, just allow them, it's just some ordinary, but it's intentional. They know that Christians will be the ones to resist largely. So they've intentionally plan these things to come at Christians. And the sad part is they are not leaving it with adults. The children aspect is the most worrying part. This next news is a clear confirmation of it. Disney Plus, we all know Disney, the entertainment industry leader and all, that's one of the big leaders in entertainment. Last week, I mentioned that they've created the toys because of the coming June is the Pride Month, so they are creating things for children. That's Disney. Now this week, this news says Disney Plus announces quotes the Proud Family unquote reboots. That's they are remaking the Proud Family. The reboot will feature gay dads, so gay fathers will be in the Proud Family reboot. After a hiatus spanning more than a decade and a half, Disney announced that it's rebooting the Proud Family animated series animation, and they won't leave their children out, with new characters including same-sex parents. The Proud Family, which aired from 2001 to 2005 on the Disney Channel, will relaunch on Disney Plus in 2022. The entertainment company's streaming service announced that a same-sex couple will be among the new characters introduced in the reboot. This is where parents have to be careful. We've said this on this program a number of times. We treated digital parenting and all those things. We talked about it. I've been warning about the dangers of the modern entertainment. You see, the entertainment industry is one of the pillars that they are using in these end times to destroy humanity. Entertainment is one of the pillars they are using. And it's such a strong pillar that has worked wonders for them and is still working wonders because it is very manipulative and it's very... the entertainment aspect itself makes it charming. So it's easy to get to draw people in, because psychologically, you know, people want to be entertained. And so they've been able to design things in a way that would entrap and ensnare people in this whole web of deception. But the children is where it becomes worrying, because children are vulnerable. Children cannot resist things under normal circumstances. So intentionally designing things for children is one of the most evil things anyone, any adult can think of doing. Because, you know, you, if you are doing movies for adults and you have gay parents, in adults have a more discerning mental, capability to choose. But when you bring it to the level of children, clearly it is designed to indoctrinate them and brainwash them and destroy them at that young, tender age. And this is the danger. Unfortunately, you see, parents cannot have the time to monitor every show that their children watch on TV. You know, because let's imagine, I mean, Saturday morning, mother is busy up and down, cleaning, washing. Father may not be around, or also busy moving, whatever. Children are sitting now and watching TV on a decoder, and they are watching something from Disney. How would the parent know what is happening? Except maybe you are passing through the hall or something, and you see something, then your attention will be drawn to it. But see, how many times would you be passing and be watching everything? So what if in the time when you've passed and gone, you are back in the kitchen, or you are back outside on the hanging, drying things on the hanging line, they show the dangerous things. And see, and these things, they don't let it last too. That's where some can be as short as 30 seconds. But you see, it's all designed to influence the subliminal mind, you know, goes beyond. The human brain is a very powerful computer. God has done it perfectly. And they know, research, they know how you can push things to the brain unconsciously and consciously. They know these things. I mean, they've done a lot of research. I mean, a lot of work has been done in these areas where they know, actually, even color combinations and all can have effects on people. React differently, the brain react differently to some type of colors. People know all these things, so they know how to push a short scene, few seconds, but it will get into the subconscious mind of the child. It's a seed that they are sowing, you see. And we as Christians should even understand it better, to the fact that there are demons behind these things. I mean, we are Christians, so let's not get technical, let's get spiritual about it. There are demons behind these things. So a demon then gets into your child through a simple cartoon that the child is watching, innocently exposed to it. The seed is sown. A few years or a few months or whatever down the line, your child starts talking of the, I don't feel like that nonsense, that's quote and unquote that they've been saying, I'm a boy, but I feel like a girl. You know, it starts from somewhere. You see, all they are seeking to do is to sow the seed in the children. That's all. I mean, and you see, it's as powerful as the child is. I mean, the person is an adult and you're introducing. You see, so it's even more dangerous, because when the seed is sown at that tender age, except the grace of God comes in and the child gets saved along the line, that child is in trouble. And the devil is busy working this out seriously, because you see, he knows that his time is short. So the agenda has been expanded and divided into the various age groupings, children division, young children, adults, the older, younger children division, adults a bit, older a bit, then the teenage, then into the young youth, then in the 20s, in the 30s, the adults, they are working across board without exception. So the children are not being left out. The children, so parents, please, you see, I've said this before, that if for the sake of your children, you have to put your decoder away. Do it, because eternity and your future of your children, the spiritual future of your children, and their life as itself, is far more important than the European League, football league, that because of that you've gone for the decoder. I mean, what will it profit you as a father to watch European Football League and then lose your children to this LGBT thing? I mean, there are a lot of people who have, you know, I don't want to mention the brand name, but the main company, you know, we all know, the Disney's channels in Ghana and all, we know them. So parents should be careful, because if you have it and your children are going to be watching these channels on their programs and they'll be exposed to it, and you have it because you want to watch entertainment as a parent, football. I mean, that's the main problem, why the main reason why a lot of them are buying these things. So because of your football, your child now gets access to a very dangerous channel or channels. There are a whole lot of, I mean, these channels virtually are dangerous. I mean, once upon a time, they were safe for children to watch. Oh, yes. I mean, once upon a time, they were safe. But now, this current now, this COVID world we are in now, evil has transcended into levels which we can't even understand. And we don't even know a lot of the evil plans they have. Oh, yeah. You see, one of the biggest mistakes people make, especially Christians, assume that people are not so evil in this world. No. Don't make that mistake. People are evil. They are evil people in this world who can do anything, even kill millions. Of course, they don't come and put a gun on your head and kill you immediately. So that, but you see, history, if you read, you look at history, world history, I mean, China, Russia, Vietnam, this man, I've forgotten the name. I mean, all these various leaders, I mean, Hitler inclusive, all these people killed millions. They killed millions. But now we have another trend of powerful world leaders, influencers, billionaires, who are doing things from another angle which people do not really see as dangerous. But these people can destroy millions and also lead millions to hell. And that's their agenda. That's their whole mission for what they are doing, to lead millions to hell. If someone, a politician, can kill you, Hitler killed people, the fact that someone kills you does not mean you are going to hell. Physically, they can kill you, yes, but they can't send you to hell if you're a Christian. But these people are even more dangerous than the Hitlers and the Chairman Mao's of China, you know, because these people, their agenda is to take you to hell, to lead you to hell, to set the trap to lead people to hell in the millions. Because the power and the control and the money that they have access to millions of people who follow and are using their systems. That's why we have to be very careful as Christians. We really have to be careful. Parents, we have to be very, very, very careful. Okay. School chaplain reported as terror threats. And the crime, if you hear it, don't be angry, but you have to, it's serious. School chaplain reported as terror threat for opposing LGBT curriculum challenges. And he challenges the firing. He's been fired, so he's challenging it. I mean, you oppose LGBT curriculum as a school chaplain, and now you are being, he's been reported as a terror threat. I mean, what has LGBT resistance got to do with terrorism? You see, but that is how they see us. That is how, in their eyes, we are dangerous people. That's how they see us. A school chaplain lost his job at a Christian school. Christian school indeed. And was reported to the government's counter-terrorism watchdog, Prevent. That's the name of the watchdog, Prevent. After telling students they were not compelled to quote, accept an ideology they disagree with, unquote, his lawyers say. The Reverend Bernard Randall, 48, is taking Trent College to court for discrimination, harassment, victimization, and unfair dismissal. He says he preached a sermon on the biblical view of gender identity and same-sex relationships after being approached by students who were confused and upset by some of the material being taught in a new LGBT-inclusive curriculum at the school. The curriculum was introduced at the independent school after a visit by Elay Banks, founder of Educate and Celebrate, an LGBT education charity. Banks held training with staff on how they could embed gender identity and sexual orientation into the fabric of your school, he says. Randall says he became alarmed when staff were instructed during the training session to chant, quote, smash heteronormality. No, smash heteronormativity. Always creating new words from because of these people, unquote. So smash heteronormativity, and told that gender identity is a protected characteristic under Equality Act. He says that when he raised concerns, he was told by the head teacher that he would be involved in any decision on whether the school would implement the Educate and Celebrate program. But he discovered at the following staff training day in January 2019 that it had already been adopted. When he asked why he had not been included in the discussions, he says it was because he might disagree. In a sermon called Competing Ideologies, Randall presented the Christian view on gender identity, encouraged debates, and told students aged 11 to 17 that no characteristic in the Equality Act was more protected than another. He also told the students that they could make up their own minds about gender identity and sexuality. And the following week, he was told that his sermon had hurt people's hearts and feelings, and that he was being suspended pending an investigation. He was also reported to Prevent, which deals with terrorism threats, and the local authority designated officer, the point of contact for child protection allegations. In August 2019, he was informed by the school that he was being dismissed for gross misconduct. Gross misconduct for saying the truth, biblical truth. Although his dismissal was overturned on appeal, he says he was forbidden from speaking on topics likely to cause offense or distress to members of the school body, and was told not to publicly express beliefs in ways which exploit pupils' vulnerability. He says the school also required that he submit a draft sermon in advance for approval. Hey, and that an observer be present during services. No. I mean, this one, how can you preach? Because if every sermon you are going to deliver to the students, you have to send a draft for approval. Oh boy. Then, you know, but this is the world we are in. And you see, this is in England. I mean, a supposed Christian country, but now, forget it, it's no longer a Christian country. You see, the system is being eroded very fast. So sometimes when we are here and people are saying things like, oh, Ghana, dear, these things cannot happen. It's just a matter of time. You'll be amazed if we don't stand our ground. You see, a lot of these places we talk about now, and we are shocked and surprised by the news coming from those places, were once Christian countries. Some of them have experienced revivals before. Powerful revivals. Powerful men of God. You see, so things have happened in these places before, and then they went to sleep. And you see, when they slept, the devil came to sow tears and came to sow the problems. You see, that is the dangerous state when Christians in any country decide to sleep, like Christians are sleeping in this country now. When Christians sleep in any society, the devil takes advantage. The devil takes advantage. Okay, and then I think this final news item, then we are done with the news for the day. Child safety advocates urge Facebook to cancel launch of Instagram for kids under 13. Hey, there's people. They always want to get the children involved. Child safety advocates and campaigners against sexual exploitation are calling on Facebook to scrap its plans to launch an Instagram platform for children younger than 13. A cohort of advocates under the banner of the Campaign for a Commercial-Free Childhood are urging Facebook to cancel its plans to launch a version of Instagram designed for preteens, highlighting the social ills and perils of digital technology. The campaigners include advocacy groups from around the world and concerned individuals, including the creators of 2020 documentary film that scrutinizes social media, The Social Dilemma. And that film highlights a lot of things about social media indeed. In the elementary and middle school years, children experience incredible growth in their social competences, abstract thinking, and sense of self. Finding outlets for self-expression and connection with their peers become especially important. We are concerned that a proposed Instagram for kids would exploit these rapid developmental changes. The April 15th letter from CCFC advocates to Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg, and it reads, quote, excessive screen media use and social media use is linked to a number of risks for children and adolescents, including obesity, lower psychological well-being, decreased happiness, decreased quality of sleep, increased risk of depression, and increases in suicide-related outcomes such as suicidal ideation, plans, and attempts. 59% of U.S. teens have reported being bullied on social media, an experience which has been linked to increased risky behaviors such as smoking and increased risk of suicidal ideation. The letter, which contained footnotes documenting the studies undergirding its claims, continued. And then says the children's safety advocates also noted that the social media platforms are saturated with child sexual abuse materials and exploitation of minors. Last year alone, according to Business Insider, Facebook reported more than 20 million child abuse images. In 2019, The Atlantic reported that Instagram was criticized for failing to respond to reports of exploitation in a timely fashion. The Washington, D.C.-based National Center for Sexual Exploitation, which is among the CCFC advocates, is voicing similar concerns regarding Facebook's plans, highlighting the various ways in which children have been sexually exploited on the platform. Quote, creating an Instagram app for kids is not only a bad idea, but irresponsible given Facebook's abysmal track record protecting children on its various platforms, unquote, said Lina Nealon, Director of Corporate and Strategic Initiatives for NCOSE. In an emailed statement to the Christian Post, rather than building a new platform to hook and monetize young children at even younger ages, Instagram should prioritize stemming the rampant sexual abuse and exploitation of minors currently on Instagram, unquote. Whilst the Instagram has recently instituted basic safety standards for its users, for which NCOSE and allies have long advocated, Facebook still has a long way to go in making its product safe for kids, and it's unlikely this newest product for children will be completely safe or risk-free, she added. Adding legal voices to the effort, more than 40 attorneys general from U.S. states and territories are petitioning Zuckerberg to abandon the project. And you see, that's what I've been saying. They want the children on board. There are countless research works to show the addiction level of social media if care is not taken. And it's already bringing a lot of cases. There are a lot of cases of, you know, teenagers committing suicide, suffering depression, lack of sleep, you know, because especially the girls, I mean, they put a picture there and people are not liking it. then they move into a mode of depression. That means she's not beautiful, the dress is not nice, and, you know, people don't like her. Then she compares with another friend's picture who is getting all the likes. Oh, okay, that means she's better than me. Then, you know, so, and all these psychological effects are there to, I mean, help any decision-making person. And then let alone you ignore these things and you want to now go in and get Instagram for younger than 13 years. Oh, come on. I mean, that one, you know, but this is where parents come in again. You know, parents giving access, unlimited access to devices, I mean, to their children to use without controls and checks and balances and, you know, anything free to do and use, it's dangerous. It's dangerous. Parents, there are lots of parents have to do to curb and control their children. You see, and these things we are talking about is in Ghana. I mean, Instagram is in Ghana. And a lot of these children in, you know, SHS, GHS, and all, they are on social media. They are on social media. You see, so a lot is happening out there. And parents really have to step up the game because, you know, if you don't guard your home, and you don't really protect your children well, by the time you realize they've crossed into levels which you'll be amazed. And you see, these systems are designed to destroy. The psychological aspect of it is beyond imagination. But well, I'm not talking about this. I just hope. I mean, as the grace of God, maybe as time permits. The coming few weeks, I hope to get into another edition of digital parenting again. And, you know, because the last time we did it, a lot has happened. And, you know, we have a lot of new listeners and all that. And parents have to be upgraded in terms of their information flow regarding what is happening so that they can keep and protect their homes, their children, and upgrade their knowledge in some of these things. There's so much ignorance amongst Christian parents and so many just don't understand all that is happening. And the children who are also now smarter than their parents when it comes to these technological devices and all, now have an advantage in outsmarting their parents. And it's not good. It's not good. So we'll talk about it as time permits in some future edition, not too distant, I hope and pray. But well, Issues of Life is the program. This is Spirit 88.3 FM Kumasi, Ghana. I'm Eben. I'll be back after this song.
I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. But sometimes I wonder what He can do through me. No great success to show, no glory on my own. Yet in my weakness He is there to let me know. His strength is perfect when our strength is gone. He'll carry us when we can't carry on. Only know the power that He has.
behold when we truly see how deep our weakness goes. His strength in us begins where ours comes to an end. He hears our humble cry and proves again His strength.
Beautiful song indeed. All right, okay. I have this message from one of our listeners. I know he has the gift of dreaming, and the Lord has been showing him a lot of things in these end times. He sent me this message. He says, "Good evening, Brother Ben. By the grace of God, I have been having a lot of dreams about the revival. It is going to be mega. At the right time, when the Lord allows me, I will tell the world about it. Thanks for the great topic about the coming revival." Really thank God for that. This one says, "Whilst teaching, I saw a boy in my SHS class." "Whilst teaching, I saw a boy in my SHS for two class..." I think there's a mistake somewhere. "Having a handkerchief with these colors," okay, the rainbow colors, "due to his naivety. I then stopped whatever I was teaching to download these LGBTQ rainbow colors with their meanings to these. We have to be on the watch out." SHS Form 2. "We have to be on the watch out as many young girls do put on such colors, not knowing the evil spell cast into them before shipping them down here." Yeah, you know, now there are a lot of demonic things. Seriously, we really, really have to be careful about the world we are in now. We really just don't follow fashion or just follow something just for following sake. You know, we have to understand that the spiritual realm is what controls the physical world we live in. So there are so many things that have influence on people without they knowing. And it's one of these things, the LGBT. Yes, you see, the rainbow colors is a creation of God to warn the human race about what he did in Noah's time. and a reminder to us that he can judge the world and he's going to do it. But you see, to me, one of the greatest insults to God is to take his rainbow and use it as a symbol to insult him. It's the greatest insult. But, well, they don't care about it anyway. But now the rainbow, they've taken it, and now you use rainbow and it's like you are one of them. Hey, this world, it's serious. You know, parents, let's be very careful. Let's be very careful the things we buy for our children these days, you know. Yes, the rainbow is a beautiful color combination, but these days, the rainbow dresses we see, there's something behind them. So please, if you don't wear a rainbow dress, or you don't hold a rainbow handkerchief, or you don't use a rainbow bag, it doesn't spoil anything. I mean, yes, it may look beautiful, but for the sake of the people who have now claimed ownership of it now, let's leave them to insult God with their colors. And let's not get contaminated by whichever spirits are behind these things, you know. Anyway, Pastor Roger will be joining us soon by phone. And I think he's going to call one of in the next few minutes. He's joining by phone in Accra. He's an old friend, right from secondary school, Form 1, all through the years, you know. So I've known him for close to many years now, over 30 years, yeah. And we've gone far in our relationship, and we talk about Christian things, and we virtually, it's like we all almost every day or every other day we talk. Yeah, we always sharing things together and all. So this topic, we've already were talking about it, and then when the Lord prompted me to start it, clearly it's like, well, it's already, we've been talking about it, so I brought him on board. Yeah, and we thank God for how far we've, the earlier series, you can listen to it online from our website, spiritissues.info. There's also the podcast, which I've started also there. I think there are 4 editions. There are a number of, I think, 2 more editions, which I'll have to get up as well in the next few days, as God permits. You know, we are in the period of information overdrive. Now, there is far more information than one can even assimilate or one can contain, you know, but, well, we just pick the most important and then share it and talk about it and use it. Because all these things are to admonish us, to correct us, to correct ourselves, improve ourselves, to reprove ourselves, and all. You know, we have to stay on track. We have to. And that's the whole essence of these programs and these things we discuss and talk about. Because the times we are in clearly means that we have to be spirit-led. And when the Holy Spirit says and does and moves and all that, we should be sensitive to his leadings and his promptings. And that's one reason why we are treating this topic, the great awakening, the final revival that is coming and all. Well, before Pastor Roger joins, I think, well, let me just get to this song that I started playing last week. Thank you. We'll be connecting soon.
We praise you, Jesus. Oh, we praise you, Jesus. Spirit upon all the peoples of the earth.
Hello.
Hello. Good evening.
Good evening, Ibe.
Yeah, you're online. Yeah.
Oh, good evening and good evening to our cherished listeners. You just said we are in a time of information overdrive.
Yeah.
So I want to start tonight's meeting with John chapter 16, verse 12. John 16, verse 12 and 13. This is what Bible says. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now.
Mm-hmm.
How about verse 13? When he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth.
Mm-hmm.
For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. Amen.
Amen.
So, although we are in a time of information overdrive, we are also in a time where the Holy Spirit is the one doing a lot of downloads for us.
Yeah.
Speaking to us a lot. And therefore, if you are sensitive to the Holy Spirit, you will pick a lot of things.
Yeah.
So I urge all our listeners that even as we go through the Pentecost week, let us all reassess ourselves and ask the Holy Spirit to fill us once again.
Mm-hmm.
Baptize us once again. Increase the level that he has in us so that our alertness will increase. Our antennas will be raised to a different level.
Yeah.
Then our receptions will be clearer and clearer per day.
Mm-hmm.
Because the things flying by day and the things flying by night, you need your antenna to be sharp and alert so that you can pick a lot of things.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
With that, we begin for this week. We are looking at Isaiah chapter 62, verse 10.
Yeah.
Isaiah 62, verse 10. We've been speaking on the great revival or the coming revival for a time or for some time now. Now, we want to look at Isaiah 62, verse 10. It says, go through the gates, prepare ye the way of the people, cast up the highway, gather out the stones, lift up a standard for the people. Verse 11, behold, the Lord has proclaimed unto the end of the world. Say ye to the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh. Mm-hmm. Tonight, through all we are seeing, we are creating a highway for the Lord. We are preparing the way for the people. We are lifting up a standard. And we are telling each and every one of us that salvation is coming. For those of us who may have lost hope, don't lose hope. Go on your knees because salvation is coming.
Yeah.
And with that, today I am combining two things. We'll be looking at the second greatest revival that has happened after the Welsh revival, that is the Azusa Street revival, which many are aware of, but it was the Welsh that many did not know. And then we'll look at what one person wrote about the coming revival. With the Azusa Street Revival, He said, over the last 2 millennia, the church has experienced many revivals, renewals, and reformation movements. Some have been used to spur the entire church spiritual advancement. One of the greatest of these was the Azusa Street Revival of 1906 in Los Angeles, California. We hear Los Angeles, California in today, in our day now, you ask yourself, what has gone wrong? You ask yourself, what has gone wrong? If this is the place that the greatest, one of the greatest revivals, which gave birth to Pentecostalism, Charismatism, and the other movements, came from. And today, every type of evil activity is coming from California. Then you can tell, you can see that the devil is trying his best to turn every gains that the Lord has made.
It's the headquarters of CSI, Church of Satan International. That's where headquarters is.
It is the headquarters for almost everything today. That is where it emanates from.
Yeah.
I am bringing us back into history and memory lane for us to know that we have left something and it is time we go back for it. If it had not been a place that revival started, the devil would have also pursued to use it as a headquarters. You know that whatever God loves, the devil also likes. He says the seed of almost every subsequent revival, renewal, or reformation movement can be traced back to this point in the church's history. We just said it together, that everything can be traced back to this place. Our modern technological sense can be traced back to California.
True.
And this is what is also being written, that the seed of almost every subsequent revival, renewal, or reformation movement can be traced back to this point in the church's history. What are we seeing there? The devil is trying his best to change the writing of California.
Mm-hmm.
But we are trusting God. So what the church is becoming can be seen in Azusa Street. This is why it is so crucial for us to understand this revival. The scriptures are clear that the Lord is going to return for a bride without spot or wrinkle. For all of us who are holding on to, there must be rapture. We are waiting for the rapture. The first question we must ask ourselves, are we without spot?
Mm-hmm.
Are we without wrinkle? Are we actually ready? Ephesians 5:27 says that I present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot, wrinkle, or any certain, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Today is the church in a glorious state. If we are in a glorious state, then we cannot cry, rapture come. But today, we see we are nowhere near the glorious state. That is why the coming revival is a necessity. That is why the coming revival should be embraced with open arms. That is why the coming revival should be something that everybody should yearn for. We should not fight it. We should rather yearn for it, because this is where the glorious church is going to emanate from. Mm-hmm. The Bible says she will be pure. She will be holy. She will be unified and so powerful that the nations will tremble at her presence. Today, are the nations trembling at our presence? Today, is the church pure? Today, is the church holy? Today, is the church unified? Today, is the church powerful? Many look at the outward conditions of the church and think that either this is impossible or it will take 1,000 years to accomplish. And I know that is what many things. So, but to remember, there is a scripture in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. It says, but do not let this one fact escape your notice. Behold, that with the Lord, one day, 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord can do in one day what we think will take 1,000 years. God can speed things up, and He's doing so. If you are observing critically, if you are aligning yourself with the things that are happening in the spirit, you will know one thing, that the cloud of God's presence is moving forward at a very fast pace. You will know. So, although it looks like the church is far behind, but if we don't set ourselves in order, things will change in a rapid way.
Yeah.
Just like how today, by the time you close your eyes and open, a new phone has come. And your has become what? An old phone.
Yeah.
That is it. And Romans chapter 8 verse 19 also says, for the endless expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. There is a waiting for us, and we cannot fail. Even creation is waiting for that time. Mm-hmm. So why are we not also waiting for that time? Creation is waiting. Creation is preparing. Creation is getting ready for that time. What about you and me? Two names that are often associated with the Azusa Street Revival. We have William Seymour and we have Frank Battleman. This is an account that was written about them, that they were different in many ways, but they were men who had an uncommon desire to know the Lord and see His power restored to the church. I believe that should be our uncommon desire. That should be the desire we both share, despite our differences, despite the way we may go about our church services.
Mm-hmm.
Our common desire should be it should be that we are seeing to the restoration of God's power to the church. Seymour was the unquestioned leader of the revival. He had the authority that gave birth to the movement on earth. Battle was the intercessor who had authority in heaven. Why do I read these two things? I am reading this because somebody must intercede. Somebody must give birth to something. From Isaiah And Isaiah said, we should prepare ye the way of what? The people. We should set the highway. And therefore, you and I are the personalities who must set the highway. Remember that everything that God wants to do, the devil will battle it. But if we want it to be best, then we must birth it by what? Prayer. And through prayer. And so, we all have to go on our knees and cry, Father, let the revival begin to what? Flow. Battleman believed that if those who were used in the revival became caught up with a sense of their own importance, this great spiritual opportunity. He therefore wrote this. God has always sought a humble. He can use no other. There is always much need for heart preaching in humility and separation before God can consistently come. The depth of any revival will be determined exactly by the spirit of repentance that is obtained. In fact, this is the key to every true revival born of God. We can't enter into this revival the way we are. Come into this revival with what? With an open heart. We have to come into this revival by preparing our hearts, by separating ourselves, and by sitting under God. From the beginning, the Azusa Street Revival was astonishingly unique, breaking many norms. So get ready. The coming revival will break norms. It was soon found abroad that God was working at Azusa, and all kinds of people began to come to the meetings. Today, if you look at the issues, and let's even just take today's news that, brother, you read. If you look at this news, the issues that are coming, what will let people stop looking at this and come to Christ? Mm-hmm. That means that there must be a power beyond what is happening. There must be a powerful rocket that is more than what the Hamas is throwing. Mm-hmm. There must be power that is beyond what people are seeing that will invite people into this. It says many were curious and unbelieving, and this is how it will start. But others were hungry for God. But I pray you will not be part of the curious and unbelieving, but you should be part of those who are hungry for God. So that while the curious and unbelieving, we will be hungry. And therefore, when we begin to move in, the newspapers will begin to ridicule us. They will abuse the meeting. But in ridiculing us and abusing the meetings, they'll be giving us free advertising. That is one of the things that will be happening. Because you see, today, everything, we joke about it.
Hello?
Can you hear me, please?
Yeah, I think your signal, so repeat your, said everything, we joke about it from there, yeah.
I said everything, mm-hmm. we joke about it today. Everything, Christ, we joke about it. So when the revival begins, it will be as a joke. The newspapers will ridicule us. The social media will laugh. Mm-hmm. And the other electronic media will laugh. But in their laughter, they will bring us crowds.
Even pastors will mock because they will say that who are these people untrained? Which Bible school did they go to? All these things will happen.
Yes. But in their mockery, they will be giving us free advertising. Because what is coming will be massive. We wouldn't have time to advertise. So it must have a way of what? Advertising itself. Let's look at what the coming revival will be. This one was written by Rodney. And it looks more like it was a prophecy than a writing. He says, God is getting us all to the place where we are nothing and he is everything. God is burning by the Holy Spirit all the rubbish out of us and is making us vessels of honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use. Why? It is because of the coming revival. You see, at times we go through problems, but today, if you, I don't know how many listeners have watched the Israeli bombing of the spirit building Hamas.
Yeah.
Within a split second, it had what? It had happened.
A 10-story building collapsed.
It had happened. Right from base, not from the middle. This is how things are going to be. And you see, this is what will get you and me ready and burning for Christ. Because there will be no great men in this coming revival. It will just take us by storm. There will be ordinary women with a great God. You remember last few weeks we talked about the Tommy Hicks vision.
Yeah.
And in his vision, he said there will be no big I or big you. This man is also talking about there will be ordinary men and ordinary women with a great God. That means that if you are looking at yourself, that I want to be a big man in this move, please count yourself out.
Yeah.
It is not going to happen. It is not going to happen. Bible says, at the mention of two or three, the matter is what? Established. And at least today, I've given you, with Tommy Hicks and this one, I've given you two prophecies, which tells you that this coming revival, it is not a coming revival with names. It is a coming revival for God. We are taking the land for God. We are not taking the land for ourselves. He says, they will rise up and tell the story of the cross. They will take this gospel to the ends of the earth. He says, I tell you by the Spirit of God, that there are people who have been sitting in churches for 10, 15, and 20 years who never thought God could ever use them in the ministry. But in this final spirit of the Holy Spirit, God will breathe upon them. And in one moment of time, they shall have a visitation from the Lord. For the time is short, and God shall raise up this army of men and women. He's also repeating here, for the time is short. But we read 2 Peter, a day is like 1,000. And so one of the prayer points that we see here is that we should be praying, God, breathe upon me, Holy Spirit, breathe upon me, breathe upon my family, breathe upon my land, breathe upon this neighborhood. That is the prayer we must begin to pray. Because this is a God-made revival. This is not a man-made revival. This is not the Oshobo that we think. Do not say, I am not useful, but say, God, use me. You are my God. Send me. This is also going to be another prayer that we have to pray. Today, as we go through, we'll be lifting up the prayer point. So one of the prayer is that Holy Ghost, God, breathe upon me. We need a fresh breath of the Lord. Someone will say, are we not already filled with the Holy Spirit? Yes, we are filled. But we need a fresh breath for a new dimension. And in every move of God, there must be a of God. In every move of God, if you look at Prophet Moses, the power of God that he had when he took Israel out of Egypt, it was different from when he got to Sinai. So at all points in time, God requires us to enter into him to bring birth the new. And this is what God is seeking. He is seeking a people who are willing. Question to us all, are we willing? Are we willing? Are we willing to say, use me? Reverend, I don't know if you have this song. Like, when we close, you can play it. If you will use anyone, use me. By Ron Kenoly.
Yeah.
God, we must be willing that God uses us. God also seeks the people who are yielded. God seeks the people who will count the cost. God seeks the people who will lend their lives unto him. And he shall flow through them and touch many. Bible gives an account in the book of where John the Baptist, his father was a priest, high priest. But when he recognized that he was the voice who was supposed to announce was Jesus, he had to enter into the wilderness to become the voice that is crying out in the wilderness. If he had followed his father's footsteps as a high priest, he has lost the mandate of God for his life. He had to enter into the wilderness. It is time every one of us begin to enter into the wilderness. That what God is about to birth, God, use me. I am willing. Use me. This is the day and the hour of the outpouring of the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God has started pouring. And for those of you who have been following Mario Murillo, you will see that some parts of the U.S., it has begun.
Yeah, the tent meetings.
The tent meetings. And it is overflowing. You will see the number of who are running to go and receive the Lord. This is the day, the final moment of the church. It is time to get ready. Listeners, as we listen, it is time to get ready. It is not time to sit back and say, God's not going to use me. Start getting yourself ready. Remember, revival starts from a point. If we want to light fire, when we light the match, we have to start it from where? A point. And then it will begin to run through. So God will start from a point. This is not necessarily going to happen to people who have been through Bible school. So please, as you listen, don't feel like I have to be a pastor before I'm qualified.
Yeah.
A diploma can't heal anyone. Place your doctorate on a wheelchair patient in the name of Jesus and see what happens. It is all going to be about the power of God. The power of God is not going to flow through those who have theory. It is going to flow through those who have revelation. Mm-hmm. It does not mean schooling is not good. It does not mean paperwork is not good. But when we look at this and you compare to scripture, the Pharisees, the Sadducees were learned people of the law. But it took the prophet Anna and the high priest Simeon to see that Christ had been born.
Yeah.
They went beyond theory and they entered into what? Revelation. Revelation is not gotten on paper. Revelation is gotten when you come into contact with the Spirit of God.
Yeah.
Revelation is gotten when you go on your knees and you travel in the Spirit. That is where we get revelation. So if you want to get revelation and you want to flow in the power of God, it is not about theory. The theories are good, but it is the revelation that carries power. The coming revival will be a culmination of all other revivals. This one, we have always been stating it, that it will surpass every revival that we know. That is why it is good for us to go to the Holy Spirit and ask Him, how will it be? Because when you ask me, how will it be? I will only describe it the way I see it. But when you ask the Holy Spirit, He will also tell you. It will be beyond what we know. So please, let us clean everything in our mind. Let us ask the Holy Spirit, reset my mind. Reset me. Because I have to flow with what you are bringing along. Otherwise, when you are not reset, and it begins to flow, what happens? Recently, we had an air conditioning issue. And then, I called one repairer. When he came, he told me he has checked, but he had to buy a new fan. Then I asked him that, oh, but all fans are the same. He told me that there are some fans that go clockwise. And there are some air conditioning fans that go anti-clockwise. First time I knew this. I never knew it.
Mm-hmm.
So, we may have of revival. We may have a thinking pattern for revival. The things that we know about revival. But this revival, you need Christ. You need the Holy Ghost to reopen your eyes. Because it will be beyond measure. There will be teaching. There will be preaching. There will be signs and wonders, healings, miracles, the glory of God, people being translated by the Spirit as Philip was in the book of Acts, and people being raised from the dead. I told you that looking at all this hey that is going on in the world, if this revival does not beat the other revivals, it will be no what news.
Yeah.
What will make it news is that it will be beyond what we can think or imagine. There will be awesome manifestations of the glory of God. That is what you and me should be preparing for.
Yeah.
Awesome manifestation. And there will be creative miracles will happen. Eyeballs will form. Legs and arms will grow out. People will leap out of your chest. God will use people everywhere. From all walks of life. I've already told you, it is not for pastors alone. And all denominations.
Children.
And the coming revival will not be limited to just one group. It includes the whole body of Christ. there will never be one group of people who will be able to say, we are the ones who are heading up this revival. This is about the third time we have read prophecies that are stating this. Revival will cover the earth. People will shout, come over to this side of town. I love this place, and I'll repeat it. Revival will cover the earth. People will shout, come over to this side of town. Come and see the move of God. The other Christians will say, it's over here in our church too. Mm-hmm. Ah. People will say, come to America, because there will be a great revival in America. People in foreign countries will be able to say, we don't need to go to America. The revival is here. The glory of the Lord will cover the earth as the water covers the sea. Hallelujah.
Yeah, amen.
When we mention revival, we can pinpoint that the Wales revival started in what? Wales. When we talk revival, tonight we've been able to pinpoint that the Azusa Street revival started where?
California.
In California. But this revival, it is going to start everywhere. It may start everywhere. And therefore, there is no need for you to wait to hear that it is coming from the east, for you to be running to the east. God is going to pour like he pours rain. It is going to pour like he pours rain. All that God needs is that he needs a vessel that are ready.
Yeah.
And let me read a last portion that he said. He said, the greatest harvest of the lost will occur in these last days. For those of us who think we are to be raptured and leave the lost here, he's saying, the greatest harvest of the lost will occur in these last days. There will be nothing that ever happened before that we can measure it by. Reverend, you have been saying something. I'm not coming to repeat what he said. He said, people will knock on your door at night and say, an angel met me in the street and said, go in there. The question is, are you prepared when somebody knocks at your door?
Mm-hmm.
Are you prepared? This is the revival that is coming. This is a revival that people will be referred to you by the Spirit. This is a revival that angels will refer people to you. Just like Paul was referred to Ananias.
Yeah.
If Ananias was not ready, could he have ministered to Paul? If Ananias was not in tune with the Spirit, could he have known the location of Paul? So, if we are talking revival, it is not I will fold my legs. We will see supernatural manifestations. An angel met me in the street and said, go in there. Daddy, mommy, my brother, my sister, everyone listening, if somebody is referred to you today, what will you do? Can you disciple the person? Do you even have scriptures in mind to speak to the person about Christ? When the person comes knocking at your door, this one, he's not coming for food. He is coming for spiritual food because he is hungry in spirit. What will you say to him? He says, there will be times in services when angels will be seen. Ha. The able man will say, shine your eyes. It is time we begin to shine our eyes, because we are going to see things. We are going to hear things. This is the reason why the revival will be a revival. This is the reason why it is the newspapers will announce for us. This time we will not build billboards. This revival is not about billboards. It is not about banners. Mm-hmm. It is not about radio ads. It is not about anything, but it is about God.
Yeah.
And God will have his own way of trumpeting his own thing. All that God requires of you and me is that we are ready. No one will have to wonder if this is the spirit or the flesh. We'll see it when it comes to this revival. All your questions in mind will be answered. You will even open your mouth, because you won't doubt the spirit or the flesh. And let me say a last thing, then we I can now run on. When a 10-foot angel stands in front of you, you will repent and get saved. One look at him scared the devil out of you. So for those of us who think the unsaved cannot be saved, get ready. They will encounter salvation. That is why they will repent to you. So get yourself ready, that when they run, you'll be ready to help. If we are raptured out and they are running, who will help them? God bless you.
God bless you, Pastor Roger. And you know, the caution for us is that take heed. See, he who thinks he stands should be careful, because we then, who are already in the system, we will feel, yes, we are the custodians of Christ. We hold the gospel. So we'll be there with our pride and with our ego, in our ego and all. And people will come and bypass us and go into the kingdom. And we will miss it, because the first shall be the last and the last shall be the first. You know, we have to be careful, because it's also, some will also be left out of this revival by virtue of pride, by virtue of, you know, looking down on things. You know, who are these people? This type of things. Is this the move of God? Is this the Holy Spirit? So it takes the childlike faith to really enter the kingdom of God. And these are the times we have to be careful, and we should be spirit-led. Well, I'll be ending with this song that he talked about. And God willing, next week will be coming out your way again. This will be uploaded onto the website, spiritissues.info. For those in the Telegram group, I'll also be sending it there. Telegram, just look for Spirit Issues or Spirit FM Issues of Life. And the short form is, I think, Spirit Issues. It's just a group for information picking, not a chatting group with noise, disturbance. No. Just only the admin puts things there. And the Telegram, the good thing with Telegram is when you join today, all the things there, you can still have access to them, unlike WhatsApp group, that if you join today, you are new and it's only things afterwards that you will see. This one, you would have access to all the various files you've been uploading there, the songs I've been using in recent times and all, and the message, the podcasts, and, you know, some books as well and all. All right, so this is Eben. I had Brother Pastor Roger joining me on this interesting discussion or talk we've been having on the coming revival. Good night, and God bless you.
If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. You can use anything.
Lord, you can use me.
Take my hands and my feet up.
Take my hands, Lord, and my feet. Touch my heart, Lord, speak through me. You can use anything, Lord, you can use me.
Land. Lord, I'm willing to trust in you. So take my life, Lord, and use it too. Yes, if you can use anything, Lord, come on and use me.
You can use anything, Lord, you can use me.
I'm willing to be used tonight, Lord.
You can use anything, Lord. You can use me.
Take my hands, Lord.
Take my hands, Lord.
And my feet. Touch my heart.
Touch my heart. Speak through me, Lord.
You can use Goliath, and that mighty giant fell. He proved to his people that God was alive in Israel. Lord, I'm available to you, and I'm wanting to be used. Yes, I am, Lord. If you can use anything, Lord, come on and use me. Jesus said, he took two fish and five loaves, and the multitude was fed. Lord, what I have may not be much, but I know it can multiply by your touch. So if you can use anything, Lord, come on and use me. Yes, Lord.
Oh,
my heart, Lord, speak through me.
Lord, speak through me.
If you can use it.